You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 16th of December, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I hope I was clear enough in what I was saying yesterday. If there are any parts of it that anyone wants me to elaborate on, please just let me know. But basically pointing out that if somebody is trying to put across two viewpoints which actually contradict one another, then you have to question what their motive is in the first place. It's fair enough to say, well, I have this theory that Christ didn't exist, and then you put across all this evidence for that. Or you say, well, I have this theory that Christ was a devil, and then you put across evidence for that. But when you use both those arguments, it says that you're not actually trying to explain a theory and try to get to the truth of something. What you're trying to do is dissuade somebody else from investigating it and get them to just throw the whole idea away. So what Bjerknes was doing, he's not interested in the truth at all. And the whole point of debates is to get to the truth of something. So that is the point that I was trying to make yesterday, that his motive coincides completely with the motive of the Talmud, really, Talmudic Jews. I had a look on E. Michael Jones' website, and there was somebody else in the comments section there pointing out exactly the same thing. Does this seem to anybody else as if this is a textbook Talmudic Jew arguing against Christianity? Because that is exactly how it seemed to me. Anyway, we've got a different subject to get into today, and I actually found out about this through Spiked magazine, which is a bit of a gatekeeper magazine. It's a free speech magazine, but doesn't really argue for the freedom of speech for everyone, mainly just for people that are criticizing Islam. But there was a very good article in there, which is written by a Joanna Williams, and she's drawing attention to the Law Commission, who are currently reviewing the law in relation to hate crime, and they basically want to expand the definitions of hate crime. And there is a public consultation that is going on at the moment. Unfortunately, we missed the online consultation, which was on the 10th of December last week, but we do still have up until Christmas Eve to fill out the online consultation paper and get the paper back to them. And there's about 16 pages worth of questions. I haven't had a chance to go through it yet because at the moment I'm also uploading other stuff to the server. But you can find out what it is about just by having a look through what they have to say. And I would advise our listeners to fill out that consultation form, because there really probably won't be many people that are putting across the viewpoint of the indigenous people of Britain, let alone the viewpoint of people that have investigated this and understand what's really going on here, because it's all about clamping down on the freedom of speech and our ability to advocate for our own people. And thankfully, there does appear to be a section in it that does actually bring up that point that I think we could concentrate on, where they talk about how they don't want to impinge on the freedom of speech, and they do want to make it more prominent that to prove hate crime or hate speech, you have to prove there is an intent there. There is a hostile intent to incite racial hatred. And of course, that is not what we're doing here at Radio Albion. We have no hostile intentions at all. We're not seeking to incite hatred in any way. We are hoping to inspire a love for our own people. And when we talk about the situation we are in, it is framed in that way. When we discuss the news, we are talking about the news from the position of the Indigenous British people. And when we talk about crimes that other people have carried out, other people that are members of different ethnic groups, that is not out of a desire to express hostility to that group. That is out of a desire to change government policy, because it's government policy that enables these groups to harm us in certain ways. Certain groups harm us in ways more than others. But the fact that all immigrants in this country are going to be harming us in one way or another, because they are replacing ourselves. They are either taking up jobs or they're taking up houses. And of course, the argument from the government is, well, they're generating jobs and they're generating a need to build houses. But those jobs would still be generated by us, and they would be filled by us if they weren't being created by the newcomers. And the newcomers are only here because of the government policy. This is nothing directed against the newcomers. They are just doing what they perceive to be what is in their best interests. And of course, every people group is going to act in its own best interest, or it would do naturally. We seem to have forgotten that in our quest for liberal values since the Enlightenment. We seem to have forgotten that we need to be doing things that are in our own best interests, rather than thinking what is in the best interests of all the groups all together. Because if you do that, then there is nobody that is looking out for your best interests, because these other groups are going to be looking out for what's best for them. Anyway, getting back to what the Law Commission have to say here, they define hate crimes. They say hate crimes are acts of violence or hostility directed at people because of who they are. Hate crime laws in England and Wales have developed in various phases over the past two decades, and the law currently recognises five protected characteristics, and those are race, religion, sexual orientation, disability, and transgender status. But the criminal law does not treat all of those protected characteristics equally. This means that someone who is assaulted based on disability is not afforded the same protection as someone who is assaulted because of their race. So this is how they are seeking to expand this. They want somebody who is assaulted, who is disabled, to be able to say this was specifically done against me because I am disabled. They want to prevent people from criticizing the disabled in with the same ways that they try to prevent people from criticizing people because of their race. Now, what this really does is it says that there are some people in society who have more protections than others, which means we are no longer equal under the law. But they're actually not just seeking to expand it in that way. They're also seeking to expand it by including more characteristics within these protected characteristics, such as the elderly, women, and we'll get to that later on anyway. But they say other major concerns include the complexity and lack of clarity in the current laws, which can make them hard to understand. They are very hard to understand, and they contain lots of nebulous language in there, lots of subjective language in there, such as hate itself. Hate is a human emotion, and it's not the opposite of love, because it is a part of love. If you love somebody, then obviously you are going to hate anything bad happening to them. If somebody murders the person who you love, you are naturally going to be very upset at that, aren't you? And it's going to be a struggle not to hate that person, but obviously you don't want to be consumed by hate. This, of course, this is a lot of the problem with this. When we see people that have had family members that have been horrifically murdered, and then we see them on the television and they say, well, I forgive the person that did this. And we think, well, what a silly person. How can you forgive somebody that's done something so terrible? But well, the thing is, if you don't forgive them, then you will be consumed by hate. You will be eaten up with hatred for the rest of your life. And that is far more harmful. That means that the person hasn't just been killed, but your life has been absolutely ruined as well, far more so than just as if you had lost a person, because it will change your whole personality if you are consumed by hate. So there is that aspect to it. But at the same time, you are going to hate these things happening to the people that you love. You're going to hate it that people get mugged, that people get raped. You're going to hate the fact that that happened, but you don't want to actually hate the person that did it. That is the difference here. We hate what is being done to our people, but we don't hate the people that are doing it. They say there are concerns about the particular challenges in prosecuting disability hate crimes. And this is because disability hate crimes are the lowest number of them. It's because they don't really seem to be able to find many disability hate crimes. The fact that there might not actually be very many of them, and that most people have a great deal of compassion and sympathy for the disabled, that doesn't appear to have occurred to them. But the fact that the statistics show that there really aren't that many disability hate crimes means that they think there should be more of them. They say there have also been calls for hate crime laws to be expanded to include new protected characteristics to tackle hatred, such as misogyny and ageism and hostility towards other groups, such as homeless people, sex workers, people who hold non-religious philosophical beliefs, for example, humanists, and alternative subcultures, for example, goths or punks. And I'm interested in this alternative subcultures. Does nationalism come under that heading, an alternative subculture? I would argue that nationalism is a creed. I would argue that it informs your entire worldview and every part of your life. If you are a nationalist and you associate with your ethnicity, I would say that it is just as important to somebody as whether they are vegan or not. And to be a vegan is now recognised as a creed. Would that mean that nationalists would get the same protection here? Because nationalists are discriminated against, and we see hate speech against nationalists all the time. Would we be so opposed to these hate speech laws if they were extended to include nationalists as a protected characteristic? Now, that's a hard question, isn't it? Because we're obviously against these laws because they impinge on free speech, but if we were protected by them, would we still be against them? Well, I would like to see everybody have this protection. I don't think anybody should be discriminated against in the way that we are. And I don't see that black people are discriminated against. I think people take them on their abilities. And in actual fact, now that we have these diversity quotas and all the rest of it, it's white people that are being penalized and that are being discriminated against. I think everybody should have the same protections. We should have an equal society where we are equal under the law. I don't believe that we should have equity where everybody gets the same thing, because that would take away all reward for hard work. That would just be a race to the bottom. That would just be communism. And that is what these groups are mainly asking for when they ask for an equality of outcome rather than just being equal under the law. They say, in our consultation paper launched on the 23rd of September 2020, we have made a number of proposals for the reform of hate crime laws. These include equalising protection across all of the existing protected characteristics. This would involve extending the application of aggravated offences, stirring up hatred offences, and potentially football chanting offences to those characteristics that are not already covered. So if football crowds were to be chanting against the disabled, which I doubt very much whether they ever would, then they could be prosecuted in the same way as if they were chanting against race. Now, when you actually look at what the wording of these laws, they do say race. They don't say only blacks or only non-whites or only Jews. They do actually say race. So when we are attacked, when we are called white supremacists, for instance, that is an attack based on race. that is hate speech, to be insulting somebody and calling them a white supremacist. And if you look up the Wikipedia pages on people that advocate for us, like Henrik Palmgren or Lana Lochteff, the first thing you read is neo-Nazi white supremacist. An insult. A blatant, naked, race-based insult. Yet we don't seem to have the same protection. If you were to write the black so-and-so, that would be hate speech. You would be prosecuted. So it's okay to use the word white as a pejorative, but it's not okay to use the word black as a pejorative. And yet actually in the wording of the law, it shouldn't make any difference. Continuing here, they say they want to add sex or gender to the protected characteristics. And we already have sexuality or transgender. We already have laws to prevent people inciting hatred to them. I guess they're just trying to strengthen them here. They want to establish criteria for deciding whether any additional characteristics should be recognised in hate crime laws, and consulting further on a range of other characteristics, notably age. So what we'll see here, we'll see all these special interest advocacy groups, they will be going to this law consultation, and they will be advocating for their people. So I would hope that Patriotic Alternative would fill this out and advocate for us and say that, look, we are a special interest group as well. The nationalist community, we need protecting. They say they want to reformulate the offences of stirring up hatred to focus on deliberate incitement of hatred, providing a greater protection for freedom of speech where no intent to incite hatred can be proven. And this is good. This is what we need to concentrate on, because we need to be able to discuss what is going on around us. We need to openly be able to discuss what we see happening. And at the moment, especially in Scotland, they're trying to make it so that even when there is no intent to incite hatred, they want to still prosecute people. So I'm pleased to see that this consultation here is actually not trying to do that. What they want to do is strengthen the free speech protections that we have. And it's very important that when people are discussing these subjects, that they think about this and make certain that what they are saying cannot be misconstrued as showing any hostile intent, because we're not hostile. We are just trying to look out for our own people. It doesn't mean that makes you hostile to every other people, does it? You love your own family. It doesn't mean that you are hostile to every other family. That's the lie that the media puts across, is that we are hostile to other races or other nations just because we seek what is best for ours. They want to expand the offence of racist chanting at football matches to cover homophobic chanting and other forms of behaviour such as gestures and throwing missiles at players. And again, imagine if nationalists were covered by this, and then you had Antifa that were throwing missiles at you. And then they could be charged with an aggravated hate crime for doing so. Would we be accepting of this then? I don't know. I mean, really, throwing missiles at somebody, you should be prosecuted for that anyway. But we don't see Antifa prosecuted for this. We see nationalists being prosecuted for trying to defend ourselves against these attacks. They say, in particular, they want to ensure that any recommendations comply with and are conceptually informed by human rights obligations, including under Articles 10, Freedom of Expression, and 14, Prohibition of Discrimination of the European Convention on Human Rights. And this is the important bit, the freedom of expression. We are supposed to be able to be free to communicate our ideas without interference across borders. And the amount of people that have been prosecuted for trying to do that is absolutely shocking. We should be able to discuss things such as World War II history. We should be able to discuss the historical relationship between Christians and Jews. We should be able to discuss all these things openly. And yet we see people being banned from YouTube. We see people being banned from Facebook for discussing these things. People that show no hostile intent to the groups that they are talking about, but they're discriminated against and they are removed from these platforms. So what we see is discrimination against white people that are talking about issues that are of interest to whites. When we see black people talking about, for instance, a persecution by the police or persecution by whites, we don't see them being discriminated against and kicked off platforms and told that that is hate speech. So it's one law for one and one law for another. At the moment, we're not all equal under the law. So the fact they are looking at this, they are looking at how these hate crime laws interfere with human rights obligations is a good thing. And that is what people should concentrate on when they fill out this form. Don't just go into a rant on how white people are mistreated. You need to concentrate on the specific things that they're asking about here. And one of them is providing greater protections for freedom of speech where there is no hostile intent and where that can be shown. Perhaps they could write it into law some of the ways people can show that there is no hostile intent, because a lot of this is subjective. As I say, this has been brought to my attention by this journalist, Joanna Williams, who is writing in Spiked. I mean, she hasn't personally brought this to my attention, but Spiked the magazine have, and I have some quotes from her here. She is currently researching hate crime in her role as director of the Freedom, Democracy and Victimhood Project at the think tank Civitas. In her new report, Policing Hate, published by Civitas, she examines the Law Commission's proposals. And I recommend people download that PDF. It's a very interesting PDF, very good PDF that she's produced. I will link to that in the article that accompanies this podcast. And these are the five reasons why she thinks it is vital that these new proposals are rejected. Number one, there is no evidence that hate crime is actually increasing. The Home Office acknowledges that year-on-year statistical increases in police-recorded hate crime have been driven by improvements in recording and identifying what constitutes a hate crime. So they have admitted that, but what they are looking at is the statistics of everything that has been recorded as a hate crime, and they're saying, well, look, it's increased. But in contrast to that, the crime survey for England and Wales, which actually goes to victims to say, have you been a victim of this? That actually shows a long time decline in hate crime, with a 38% fall during the decade from 2008 to 2018. And of course, those who are on the opposing side of this debate will then try and say, well, that's because it's not being properly investigated. The police need to do more. But they are doing more because the police have already admitted that there have been these great big improvements in recording and identifying it. We have people like Sadiq Khan that has given £2 million, I think it was, to the Metropolitan Police just to set up a Twitter investigation unit. Number two, they are an attack on free speech. Under the Law Commission's proposals, the legal definition of hate speech would be amended so that any utterance perceived to be hostile to a protected group, regardless of the actual words or images used or the intention of the speaker, will be assumed to be hate speech. And this is the issue here. At the moment, if anybody perceives it to be hostile, then they can try and claim that it is hostile. They can try and claim that they are a victim and it is hate speech because a person from a protected characteristic said they didn't like it and therefore you can be prosecuted for it. This is what's wrong here. They wouldn't necessarily be found guilty for it because they could show that they did not have a hostile intent. But this has paved the way for so-called non-crime hate incidents where you've got people making an allegation, well, this is hostile, And yet it's not actually a crime that the person has carried out, and they haven't actually got any hostility, but it's still being recorded as a non-crime hate incident. And this is what's going on in Scotland. They're trying to say, even if there's no proof whatsoever that there's any hostile intent, if it can be perceived as being negative about a group with protected characteristics, then that makes it hate speech and it should be banned. And of course, that means that the Bible would be banned. That means that talking about the Bible would be banned. And never mind the fact that the whole of our system of law is based upon the Christian Bible. And when you're in court, you swear to tell the truth on the Bible. It would mean that that book that our laws are based upon would then be outlawed. That's how ridiculous this is. This also means that cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, such as those used in the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, would be outlawed in the UK. Again, well, that is humour, isn't it? That is not hostile. That is humour. And yet they would say, well, because one of these protected characteristic groups may be offended at that, then that means that you have a hostile intent, regardless of whether the person has a hostile intent or not. The person doing that, writing the cartoons, could even be non-white, and they would still accuse them of hostile intent. So this is what needs changing. This is what people need to write into them about, and the contradictions that are inherent in this. She says, we need to repeal all elements of existing law that conflict with freedom of speech, rather than seeking new ways to regulate what we can and cannot say. And of course, I fully agree with that. Number three, they would erode equality before the law. It is already the case that some identity groups receive more legal protections than others. The Law Commission now proposes expanding those considered to have victim status to include sex workers, the elderly, women, travellers, and members of alternative subcultures. And of course, I would argue that nationalists could be put under that heading of alternative subculture. What are the parameters going to be for defining whether you belong to a subculture or not? Because, of course, nationalism is a counter culture. We are a separate culture. We do have culture. We have our own music. We have our own videos. We even have our own plays. We have our own books. We have an entire subculture and community of our own. So what would be the definitions for what an alternative subculture would be? Would we be protected by that? And why is it that not everybody is given these protections? Under plans to outlaw misogyny, women will be treated differently to men. This seems premised on a belief that women are one homogenous group, are all equally as oppressed and victimised, are all in need of police officers to guard them from abusive men. Again, this is discriminatory against men because it portrays men as all being abusive. A previous generation of activists fought hard to achieve equality before the law, and these proposals undermine that principle. So again, these are all things that arguments that you could make when you fill out this form for the consultation. Number four, they would fuel hate crime entrepreneurs. Under the Law Commission's proposals, campaigning organisations such as Stonewall would be incentivised to present the groups they advocate on behalf of as victims in order to secure the power that comes with enhanced legal status. And of course, all these groups get government funding, and the more resources are put into investigating them. In this way, such campaigners become hate crime entrepreneurs. They encourage their members to perceive offence and facilitate them in reporting hate incidents to the police. The Law Commission's uncritical use of testimony from hate crime entrepreneurs means that legal changes are being proposed not on the basis of objective evidence, but on the subjective demands of activists for recognition and affirmation of suffering. And this actually turns the whole principle of law on its head. Normally, you have a judge who decides whether somebody is a victim or not, and that judge cannot be the victim themselves. You cannot stand in judgment in your own case. That is one of the most basic principles that there is of law. And by saying that anyone of protected characteristics that makes an allegation is automatically seen as a victim and a victim of a crime, that's what you're saying. You're saying that the victim is also the judge in these cases. Number five, they would destroy women-only spaces. The Law Commission proposes a definition of transgender in line with the one favoured by Stonewall. This would rely on self-identification rather than a need to acquire a gender recognition certificate. This means that for all the legal protections being offered to women, anyone who defends female-only spaces or insists on defining a woman as an adult human female could be criminalised. So there's five good points there that people can concentrate on when they respond to this. She says, the Law Commission represents the legal establishment and its members clearly view British citizens with contempt. We are either victims in need of protection or perpetrators of hate and abuse. In either case, it thinks we need the state to step up the policing of our speech and behaviour. At present, the Law Commission's proposals have not yet been debated in Parliament or passed into law, and we have a chance to make sure they never make it that far. The Law Commission has launched a consultation on its proposals. You can take part by completing an online response form. There is no need to reply to every question, but you do need to be quick. The consultation closes on the 24th of December. So it closes next week. So we've still got, what have we got here? 8 days. 8 days in which to fill this consultation in. So I do recommend everybody get busy on filling that in and advocating for our people. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be on Patriotic Weekly Review later with Mark Collett and No White Guilt. And I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.